of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit. And with this food, fill all the starving world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 145 responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please join me in prayer? Merciful and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sharing what we have has always been an important part of the Christian faith. From the very early days of the church has prayed that each day we would be given our daily bread. We believe that if we give food to the least of these, that we are somehow giving it to Jesus himself. This has not always gone according to plan. There have been some hiccups along the way. For instance, there was this time in the early church in Corinth that wealthy followers of Jesus and the poor followers of Jesus would get together for communion, and the wealthy would separate themselves from the poor, and the poor would go hungry, and the Apostle Paul rebuked them, saying they had to be a little more discerning when taking the body and blood of Jesus, because feeding the poor should be a top priority among us, and they were not doing that. I know that you all at St. Peter's have taken a strong interest in feeding the poor. One Friday a month, you volunteer at Third Avenue Charitable Organization, TACO. You participate in food pantries. The youth group had participated in a reverse trick-or-treat where they would go and dress up in costumes and ask people for food to collect for the food pantry. Coffee hour is also important because you never know who comes to church hungry. Did I miss anything? What else do you guys do to help feed others? Oh, empty bowls, that's great.
Mama's Kitchen.
Mama's Kitchen? Is there a name for that? Food on the beach on Thursday nights. Wow, that's great. See, all of these fall into the line with the actions of Jesus feeding the 5,000, because through it, we enact an important symbol. We believe in God's kingdom, no one goes hungry. And so we enact and extend part of God's kingdom. This congregation, we can't feed everybody, but you can share what you have. You can live what you know, because you are a people that believe in God's abundance. That's really what being a resurrection people is all about. I know that you can get behind resurrection. We are a resurrection people. But are we a death people? Can we really get behind that? Jesus went out into the desert. He went in the reading because he had learned that John the Baptist had died. He wanted to be alone. It's easy to gloss over this, why Jesus went there in the first place. It's easy to move directly to the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. But the people, they wanted to be with him. The people didn't know it, but they were actually with Jesus in suffering and loss. And it makes me think, how awesome is it that we are united in the resurrection and life and sharing food with others? But can we really be united in Jesus' suffering, in his loss? Going even further, can we be united with Jesus in his suffering and in his death? Can we actually share in that? So often we want to deny death. We want to pretend that it isn't coming for us or the ones we love. We somehow think that we can do away with the slow death of our bodies with creams and surgeries to not look so old. It's not only physical death or the slow decay of our bodies that we deny. It's also the small deaths that we can't acknowledge. It's the loss of love or friendship, the death of expectations, the realizing that our lives did not turn out the way we thought they would. There are many deaths around us. Some that we can't even acknowledge. So how can we be united with Jesus in his suffering death when we can't even acknowledge the death lurking in us. Is there a way to be united in a suffering? Is there a way to share in it? There was this woman and her son who lived in this really small village. And she awoke one morning to find that her son had died. In her distress, she took her young, lifeless boy to her neighbors and asked if there was anything that they could do. And they told her, no. She then took him to the village center and asked people walking by if there was anything they could do. And they told her, no. And then she went to the village leaders and asked if there was anything that they could do. They also told her no. But they did hear that there was a man living near a lake in a shack at the top of the mountains. If anyone could do anything, it would be him. And so she began her journey with her boy and took him to the top of the mountain. And when she arrived at the door, she knocked on the shack and the man opened. She placed the boy in his arms and asked if there was anything that he could do. And he said, yes. I want you to bring me some mustard seed from a house that has never tasted loss or despair. And so she began her journey throughout down to the villagers and asked if they had ever lost somebody and asked if they had ever despaired in any way. And it was through hearing of those stories that she could begin to realize that all have suffered. All have tasted despair. And she was able to come to terms with losing her own boy. She went back to the wise man, retrieved her son, and was able to bury him. See, we've all experienced death. We've all experienced loss and despair. If I were to ask you today if you have suffered or tasted despair, if I were to ask you to talk with the person next to you about that, the stories that you could tell each other, and I promise you that you wouldn't feel so alone anymore. When we are united in Christ's death, we are able to touch death in our own life. And we are able to share our pain with others because we all have pain. We shouldn't deny death or loss or pain in our life. We have to go through it, sit in it, realizing that Christ also experienced the same. But there's something else we do believe strongly. That in this pain and death and loss, it doesn't have the final say in our lives. It turns out that going through this, not denying it, is the way of encountering the resurrected Christ. See, we are a resurrection people. And people who go through death and loss and talk about it and enter into the worst this world has to offer, and have faith that Christ and in Christ we have been given new life. See, the church has been providing moments of resurrection for people since the very beginning, whether it's taking care of the orphan or the widow, washing the feet of the dying in Calcutta, feeding those in need at Taco. We are a place of resurrection for people. We can enter into the pain with people, sit them with there in it, because like the death they experienced, so our Savior experienced. And like the resurrection that Jesus experienced, so too we can provide a place of resurrection for them. I read this book by Lauren Winner recently called Still. And in this book, she talks a lot about sitting in pain. There's this one chapter that says this. It's entitled, Another Good Reason to Go to Church. She writes this. In the Sunday Washington Post, in an article by a woman whose marriage had imploded and who had just had a massive fight with her best friend, she doesn't hold much truck with organized religion. But nonetheless, she says, I was in dire need of people who would be nice to me for less than $125 an hour. So I went off to church. I had a conversation much like that a few weeks ago with a friend of mine. She has a background in a really abusive church and family. And she shuffles from calling herself an atheist to an agnostic even in the same conversation that we were having. She thinks she suffers from church PTSD. And so I asked her, why do you still go to church? What was it about church that helped her? And she told me that sometimes she just needed the feeling of being held by something bigger than herself. And going to church does that for her. Even though that she thinks most likely it's all in her head. Life-giving moments for people. Places of resurrection. Whether it be food or entering into someone else's suffering. This is what the church has the opportunity to provide. We have opportunities to be united in Christ's death and resurrection and be part of people's own deaths and be sites of their resurrection. Maybe that's what makes us one. Maybe that's how we share what we have. So my brothers and sisters, remember that it was in a place of sorrow that Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember that because Christ suffered, we don't shy away from other people's suffering. And may St. Peter's be a place of resurrection for people as well. May you be witnesses to your community, remembering, as St. Teresa of Avila once wrote, that Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out to the earth. Yours are the feet by which it is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands by which he is to bless us now. Amen.